of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I want to bring a message today out of Luke chapter number 12. We're going to read on to quite a bit more of it. And this year we're speaking on order. And I hope that you are trying to get many things in your life in order. Order brings peace. Order brings peace. Anything you can get in your life in order will bring an element of peace to that area, and pretty soon you'll have all kinds of pieces in order and a lot more peace in your life. I want to talk about the subject today, that sometimes our financial problems are spiritual problems. Sometimes our financial problems are spiritual problems. Again, sometimes our financial problems are spiritual problems. If you're here today and you're having financial hardships, problems, or stress in your life, and about 56% of Americans do, and that's in the midst of the most prosperous country that has ever existed in human history, the United States of America, there are all kinds of people stressed out in their life over finances. You youth, I hope you'll listen carefully today. Maybe you're not to that stage yet where you're having to deal with a lot of money, but you will be soon. And I want to bring some things to you from God's Word today that will help you. You know, they say the average household in America has between $9,000 and $10,000 just in credit card debt. Just in credit card debt. And that does not include the debt of their monthly mortgage payment or car payments or whatever other kind of payments that they may have. And debt can change people. It can put tremendous stress and loads on people's lives and cause them to have all kinds of contentions with others. Now, sometimes people's financial problems are character problems. I'll admit that. I'm not going to talk about character problems today. I'm going to talk about spiritual problems today. But sometimes people's financial problems are character problems. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 9 says this, He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. And it talks here about what we would call laziness. Some people have financial problems simply because they have a character flaw in them called laziness. And I don't want to deal with that today. I just want to throw that out there. I hope that's not you. Some people are just lazy, and as a result, they don't have anything. Another problem is a lack of self-control, which is, again, often a character flaw, but that itself can be helped spiritually. In Proverbs 11:16, it says, A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Strong men retain riches. That means those men who are men of character know how to hold on to their money. Strong men retain riches. Now, sometimes there's a lack of character. Those that are not strong, they can't control their money. Money controls them. My dad used to call it burning a hole in your pocket. I don't know if some of you ever heard that saying. Is that money burning a hole in your pocket? Because we'd get it and we'd want to run off to the store. That money burning a hole in your pocket or something? And he was trying to teach us to be strong men. Strong men retain riches. They hold on to their money. And so sometimes laziness or a lack of self-control can cause a person all kinds of financial problems. Now, some of that can be fixed spiritually. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, which is self-control. And so the Holy Spirit can really assist you in your financial area of your life. You know, too often we take the financial realm and we separate it from the spiritual realm. But I'm trying to join the two together today. The way God would have it, that the financial realm is a part of the spiritual realm, as we'll see later when we get down to verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Notice it's a spiritual matter. What we do with our treasure, what we do with the finances that God allows to pass through our hands. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It is a spiritual matter. And I want to encourage you to help yourself and help your children by bringing the financial realm and the spiritual realm together and letting the financial realm of your life be a spiritual matter between you and the Lord. And take Him on as your financial partner and advisor, and things will work out for you. You know, Jesus talked a lot about money. Did you know that most of the parables are about money matters? Here in this whole chapter, He talks about money. In many other places, you know, I think if Jesus walked the earth today, there'd be some people that wouldn't like Him, and they would say all He ever talks about is money. I think some people would say that if they really heard the Lord Jesus Christ preach. But He was trying to help people. He was trying to help people bring that into the spiritual realm. And if you don't bring your finances into the spiritual realm, you'll probably make some very common mistakes that people have. And I noticed it'll cause problems. Have you ever seen money cause problems between two people? You know what the major cause of divorces and marital misery and separations? Do you know what most marriages are stressed out about? Do you know what most of them fight about? They fight about money matters. And here's a case right here where the same thing happens in verse 13. And one of the companies said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. There's a problem in this family. There's a problem between two people, and it's over an inheritance. Some of you that have been around a while in life, and especially some of you older people, you have seen families divided over inheritances. You've seen funerals turn ugly. Sometimes the body's not even warm and in the grave, and then families just start scratching each other like wild cats, trying to get at the possessions, trying to get at the money, trying to get at the furniture. It can get ugly. And I want to say to you today, before we go on here, that every one of you should have a will. You should have it in writing. You should have it signed. And you should have it discussed with your children, to bring peace to your family for when this happens to you, and it will. It will. And these things need to be clearly communicated to further generations so these kind of problems don't happen. See, money often divides human beings. Money often divides husbands and wives. Money often leaves a bitter taste in the mouths of children. And in the mouths of parents, sometimes parents just think all they are is a bank, and the kids just keep running to me for money over and over and over again. Or sometimes kids think, boy, mom and dad, they never help me, and I'm struggling along here, and can't they see I have a need? And it divides. Notice that there's two brothers here in verse 13. Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And boy, money can really, really produce ugly situations and ugly people. And Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge and a divider over you? And notice Jesus now takes a financial situation and turns it into a spiritual one in verse 15. And he teaches and says, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, I believe if you and I were there that day, that's the last thing that man wanted to hear. That's the last thing that man wanted to hear. But that's what he needed to hear. He said, Take heed. The book of Proverbs says, "An inheritance gotten speedily shall not be blessed." And Jesus gets to the heart of the problem. And he says, take heed. And he says, beware. And this word beware comes from a word which means look out. It's as if you were warning perhaps today somebody who's about ready to step in front of a car or a semi-truck and get killed, and you scream out and say, look out. Jesus is saying, beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. Now, that's a big, huge word that, unfortunately, a lot of people don't even know what it means. It means lust. It means desire for things that are another's. Today in America, it means keeping up with the Joneses. Today in America, it means reading the Sunday paper and going through all the ads for Penny's and Kohl's and Walmart and all these things and saying, I got to have this, I got to have this, I got to have this, I got to have this. It's looking at your neighbors and saying, they got this, I've got to have that. I got to have clothes like that. I've got to have jewelry like that. I got to have that car. It's desire. It's a violation of the 10th commandment where the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. It's the American way. And it's all wrong. And this is at the root of why there is so much misery in America today, why there is so many marriage problems and breakups and hardships, and 56% of Americans don't know what to do in the midst of the most prosperous country that's ever existed in history. It's why the average household has $9,000 to $10,000 just in credit card debt. That is prompted by a spiritual problem, covetousness. I've got to have this, and I've got to have it now. Here's my plastic. It is idolatry. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 5 that we're supposed to put away from ourselves covetousness, which is idolatry. It is making a god out of money. It is making a god out of the things of this world. It is turning to those things for satisfaction. And brethren, if no one's ever told you before, let me tell you today, there is nothing on earth that you can ever purchase that will give you lasting satisfaction. There is nothing on earth. I know Madison Avenue tells you in all of their amazing commercials on television all of their brilliant periodicals and circulars that they pass out to sell you items. I know they tell you every day, you cannot live without this. And so many people are convinced of that, and they become covetous. And they go into debt to get this and to this. You know, there's a book in the Bible that deals with this called Ecclesiastes. A man that the Lord gave the opportunity to purchase anything his heart ever desired. Solomon. He was the richest man on earth. And when he purchased everything that his heart desired, he came to the conclusion, he said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That phrase, vexation of spirit, he says, is the more I accumulated, the more depressed I got. The things of this world do not satisfy. They can give you a temporary happiness. They can give you a jolt of joy or a jolt of fun or something like that, but they can't give you lasting joy. The amazing thing about the lasting joy is, I got to be careful how I say it, but it's free. Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let me tell you something. The poorest person on this planet can live in the presence of God and know the joy of the Lord. And they won't need a dime to get it. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, you don't have to try to buy it. It's a spiritual problem. The debt in America is a spiritual problem. It's not a financial problem. It's a spiritual one. We got so many broken homes out here. We got so many absentee mothers. who are not there to raise the children anymore because of the debt that they got in because of covetousness. They had to have the nice house, had to have the nice car, had to have the nice furniture, had to have this, had to have this, had to have this, had to have this, and pretty soon both have to go off to work just to feed their habit. And we need some moms who will make the tremendous leap from the material to the maternal. And they'll say, my kids. That's what's valuable. I was talking to a lady yesterday who works in a daycare, and she was telling me that they drop the babies off. They're now as young as 6 weeks old. 6 weeks old. Just so they can run back into the workforce and get more and more money for more and more things that they don't need. Spiritual. It's spiritual. Covetousness is a sin that can bring all kinds of financial problems to your life. I tell people sometimes that they got this huge mall over here in Cheektowaga, I think it is, the Galleria Mall. I've never been in there in my life to this point. Don't know if I ever will go in there. But the last I checked my pulse, I'm still alive. There's nothing in there that I need to keep me alive. And covetousness, brethren, sisters, a lot of it is covetousness. Now, I want you to notice something else that causes people problem. Not only covetousness, but the pursuit of pleasure. Verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my goods and my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Now notice this saying right here. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Prosperity sometimes is one of the worst things that will ever happen to the country. Prosperity often prompts a person into a life of pleasure seeking. As they get more and more prosperity, you know, my wife and I, we always joke and we make observations about this world and all the kind of toys people buy and stuff. You see men driving around on toys and everything. And we got too much free time in this country. And we got too much cash in this country. And some of it's from debt, like I just said. And sometimes there are people, and notice the pleasure seekers, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The Epicureans were a pleasure-seeking people. And Americans are like that. Take thine, but a problem comes up, a major problem, verse 20. But God said unto them, see, God will always have the last word. God always has the last word in every individual's life. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know something? Pleasure-seeking. Prosperity that results in pleasure to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow. Eat, drink, and be merry. But the Lord said, but this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Turn over to Mark. Keep your place here. And look at Mark chapter number 8. Mark in chapter number 8. The Bible says this in verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? These are great, profound financial questions. They have a spiritual application to them. Jesus unites this financial realm with the spiritual realm over and over and over again. He says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, no man has ever come close to gaining the whole world. But if a man could, what good would it do, God says, if that person should die and lose his own soul and be condemned forever, separated from God in a lake of fire? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Psalm 49 says, the ransom of our soul is precious. It says, if a man should give everything that he owns for his soul, he couldn't pay for it. It has to be purchased only with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch out. Money opens the door to pursue all kinds of pleasures, and that is a spiritual matter. That is a spiritual matter. Again, pleasure can be found in God. Now, some people don't believe that because they never tried it. The Lord challenges us to try it. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Give it a taste. He's not against that. But there's some people who have never tried to give their life lock, stock, and barrel completely over to God to see the joy that he would give them. I talked to somebody recently that just said, you know, when I was with the Lord, when I was in church, those were the greatest days of my life, and I didn't even know it. And said, now everything's just kind of falling apart. Everything's kind of falling apart. This pleasure. Turn back to Proverbs 21, verse 17. Pleasure, oh my. The Bible says in the prophecies of Paul that in the last days there'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Sounds like today, doesn't it? People are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, the pursuit of pleasure is an expensive pursuit. Did you know that? It says in Proverbs 21 and verse number 17, these words, it says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Not only is he going to lose it all like the last guy we talked about when he dies and have nothing for all of eternity, but you can spend a lot on pleasure in this life. The pursuit of pleasure, just like covetousness, can cost you and cost you and cost you. And pleasure is expensive. I got an advertisement mailed to my house for Dish Network. Whatever that means, I don't know. I'm not into TV. I could get 100 channels for $32.99 a month. I don't know why any human being needs 100 channels of anything to watch, when so many of us live without one channel. 200 channels for $44.99. And then the big one was 250 channels. I mean, that would fry my mind with that many channels. I wouldn't know what to do. I would lose my mental faculties, I think. $54.99 a month. That comes out to $395 a year, $539 a year, or $659 a year to have 250 channels in your house. To me, that's a lot of money. Movies cost a lot of money. Entertainment centers cost a lot of money. Some of this, all this internet access can cost a lot of money. Cars and iPods can cost a lot of money. Sports can cost a lot of money. Man, the price for tickets now to sporting events. Shopping, restaurants can cost a lot of money. And I'm not saying going shopping or a restaurant occasionally, there's anything wrong with that. Drugs, illegal drugs can cost a lot of money. Cigarettes, I don't know how much they are a pack. It's a good time for some of you to find the Lord's help and be delivered from that. Gambling, I think this gambling scourge is going to keep growing and growing and growing and growing and growing throughout our country. Gambling costs you a lot of money. Vehicles can cost you a lot of money. Alcohol is very, very expensive. It costs a lot of money for a little pleasure. It costs a lot of money for a little pleasure. You add it up, and it's not worth it. And all the time I can stay in the presence of the Lord for free, and all it's going to cost me is my time and my love, and there's pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. What a God. And then all that money that people are spending on gambling and sports and entertainment centers and movies and these other addictions people have. Movies are one of the biggest addictions. Television's one of the biggest addictions nowadays. And all kinds of other things. Gambling, pornography. This stuff costs a lot of money. Music. My, oh, my. The money that people are spending on music nowadays. You know, that could all be applied to more important things if you find your pleasure in God and help you financially. If we'll become more spiritual, and you know, it's possible, I'm not there yet, but it's possible according to the scriptures to get to a place in your life where God is enough. And you don't need anything more. He is the all-sufficient one, the satisfier. El Shaddai is one of his Hebrew names. It means the satisfier. We can get to a place where we're so close to the Lord that he's enough. And just having food and clothing, we can be content. And we can be content with such things as we have. It's possible. It's a spiritual matter, brethren. It's a spiritual matter. Pleasure can cost you a lot of money and leave you with nothing to show for it. You ever thought of the money that's passed through your hands in your life that you wish you could get back? Now notice the solution beginning in verse number 22 back in the book of Luke. The Lord, he keeps talking about this matter, and he talks about people who need to lay up treasure for God and be rich toward God. Verse 21, therefore I say unto you, verse 22, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And then he tells us to consider the ravens, consider the lilies, consider the grass. He says, go out and look at ravens. Go out and look at the lilies. Go out and look at the grass. God takes care of them. Don't you think you're more important than they are? If God takes care of lilies, and God takes care of ravens, and God takes care of grass, and another text, if the Lord says, if God takes care of sparrows, he says, you're worth more than sparrows. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to lose sleep and lose your rest over your finances. He says, just commit that matter to God. If God, verse 28, so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little? Well, he takes the financial and makes it spiritual again, doesn't he? O ye of little faith. See, people who worry over their finances, it's a spiritual matter. Sometimes our financial problems are spiritual problems. The people worrying these days over finances and actually doing things outside of God's will for their life just so they can earn some more money. Well, I got to take this into my hands. No, you get with God's financial program. What is that? Verse 29, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Don't even have a doubt in your mind that God's going to take care of you. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. The nations are always worrying about how are we going to make it? Who's going to be our next president? Who's going to put the most money in my pocket? Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. In Matthew's account, when he recorded this, he said, your Father knoweth what need you have before you ask him. God knows what you need. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's saying, make this a spiritual matter in your life. Put God first. Put me first. Challenge me. The Lord said, prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. As I've said many times, according to verse 31, when you get interested in God's work, he's going to get interested in you. Are you tithing? Are you giving offerings? Are you honoring the Lord with the first fruits and everything that he's given you? You know, those who are and those who do it consistently find that things begin to work out. God begins to clear up their mind. The fog lifts, the mist lifts from their thinking. They begin to start thinking straight and making better financial decisions because the Holy Spirit's now helping them. Boy, you can make a financial decision that fast nowadays, and boy, you'll pay for years for it. You young people going off to college, I want you to reconsider. Reconsider these student loans. Think about that. Try God. Try God by faith. Get on your knees. Do some prayer, some fasting, going out food and saying, Lord, if you want me to go to college, I believe you'll provide for me. See what he does. See what he does. So many 18-year-olds think they got to go to college. Got to go right to college, right out of high school when you're 18. Because they don't want to get behind in the rat race. Remember, we're not rats. And we're not in a race with this world. And you're going to live to be about 78, 80 years of age, and that's a long time after high school. The average man changes his employment 7 times before he's in his 30s. Why? He's still trying to find himself. Find what his gift is, what his calling is, where God would have him fit. 80% of those that go to college straight out of high school never work one single day in the field that they went to study in college. That system is broken. That system is broken. 18-year-olds usually don't know what they're doing in life. And they need times where mom and dad will just let them live at home and get out in the workforce and earn some money and learn how to handle that, be good steward of that money, tithe, give offerings, and save some more, and save up for things in the future. And believe me, somebody who's 21 years old or 22 years old has a whole clearer picture on what God might want them to do as someone who's 18. But usually by the time they're 21, they're so deep in debts from student loans nowadays that they won't be free from that bondage for 10 years. The borrower is servant to the lender. I want to encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs 72 times in a row like my wife and I did the first 6 years of our marriage. I'm not smart. Some people think I am. But I had a book that guided me through these matters. The book of Proverbs. And that's why I don't have any debt. That's why my house is paid for. That's why my wife stayed home all the time we've been married and raised the children. That's why we made it on one income. We did it God's way. Now, I know some of you are in a mess and you're going to have to work some things out and you didn't have the head start we had. I understand that. But you need to chisel away at them debts. You need to pay the smallest debt off you can. You'll feel good about it. And then the second smallest and the third smallest and the fourth smallest and get down to where there's only one or two left and just work at that and work at that. And God's going to help you. But make that a goal. I opened to Proverbs 13 in verse 8 one time and got down on my knees and said, Lord, you said in your word, owe no man anything but to love one another. And Lord, I don't know if you let me do this, but until the day of my death or until the rapture, I pray that when the rapture takes place, I will not owe one person anywhere one penny on this earth. It's just a goal of mine. God's been good. You know why? Because I took everything in the financial realm and I made it spiritual. I made it spiritual. I didn't give God the tithe and say, oh good, there are other 90%. I can do whatever I please with. No. I said, Lord, I want you to be the guide of what I do with this too. And God is blessed. Where is your heart today? Where is your treasure? Some of you have quit tithing. Quit giving offerings. You say, I'm in a real mess. Well, there's some help in verse 33, and we'll go to close here. He says what? Sell that you have. Sell what you got. Sell what you got. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. He's saying, listen, if you're in a mess, Jesus is saying, sell what you have. Give to the poor. Maybe you're the poor. Sell what you have and get out of debt. But almost all of us could unload a bunch of things we're holding on to. I don't know what we're holding on to for. It's all going to melt someday in a fervent heat. Just sell what you got. Sell what you got. Learn. If you got to downsize to a smaller house, downsize to a smaller car, downsize to hand-me-down furniture, downsize to hand-me-down clothes. Man, I was rambling around through Goodwill the other day with my wife. That's just, I like those places. They're made with me in mind or something. But that's a spiritual thing. You got to be humble enough to be able to do that. And you young people, listen, when you get married, your wife's not going to be impressed with your fancy clothes and your fancy car and your fancy jewelry. She's going to say, how are we going to pay the gas bill? And the water bill and the phone bill and the electric bill and the insurances. That's what she's going to be concerned about. She's going to be impressed. So impress your wife before you ever marry her. By just being simple and saving up. And man, the money that passes through teenagers' hands nowadays, I can get on this and go and go and go here. But the money that just passes through your hands, can't you take half of it and stick it in a bank account? Man, by the time you're 21 or 22 nowadays, even if you go out and get a minimum, the minimum wage is like $6.55 now. If you could just stay at home and be nice to mom and dad and thank them every day for letting you stay there, and sink half of that into a savings account, do the math. See how much money you'll have in the bank by the time you're 21, 22, 23. You young ladies, you're working. A lot of it, you could be saving too for marriage. Man, you find some young man, some young lady, they both saved up. They weren't trying to impress each other with their clothes and their gold and their cars and all that kind of stuff. And they just set things aside and you put hers with his and they get married that day, they got to have a chunk of change there. That might take some of the stress off of marriage that people are having nowadays. Sell what you have. Sell what you have. But my message this morning is this, is sometimes our financial problems are spiritual ones. Covetousness. I got to have this, got to have this. We got to have the best. Oh, my, look at these iPods. I got to get my kids those. That's about the worst thing you could. Man, that's like just pouring poison down their throat. Why in the world would you want your kids to have one of those? These cell phones and so on and so forth. Would you lose them? Lose track of them? Keep them close. Man alive, we gotta realize covetousness is a spiritual problem. Pleasure seeking is a spiritual problem. Worry is a spiritual problem. Doubt is a spiritual problem. And so much of the debt America is in is because they have not been joined to God in their relationship in the financial realm. Financial realm. And that's how you solve so much. Our financial problems. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Jesus said,